The who, why, and how of theater we are making right now.
An inside look at Barter Theater.
A year-round repertory theater in Abingdon, Virginia.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
This is Theater Matters.
Theater Matters!
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Theater Matters. I'm your host, Kenny Davis. Today, I'm so excited to be joined by Barter Theater's assistant costume designer, Lee Martin. Welcome to the show, Lee.
Hi, thanks, Kenny.
So let's start with what sparked your interest in becoming a costume designer.
Well, I started out when I was really young doing theater, mostly because my family was tired of me telling them jokes all the time. So they wanted me to tell them to other people. So I did lots of little things at school and then ended up auditioning for a children's theater in Greensboro, North Carolina, Greensboro Children's Theater, and ended up doing plays there. So I started as a performer. I did that all through, up and through high school, a lot of community theater and stuff like that, and then did some stuff in high school as well as education and all of that. And then after I got out of high school, I kind of stopped doing theater for a little while. I think it was burnout or not really realizing that that was something I could do as a viable career. And I worked a lot of, little jobs and stuff like that. But when I went back to school in my mid-20s, I figured, why go to school for something that I'm probably never going to enjoy and do something that I'm going to love? And thinking back on it in my life, the things that I always loved the most was being a part of performances and being a part of art that we do on stage. So I went back to school to a community college and started out there. And what was great about that was we got to do a little bit of everything. There were 30 people in our program and we put on 10 shows a year. And so I did everything from I was in tons of shows and I was backstage for tons of shows. And they found out I could sew. Because I had learned in the interim between high school and going back to school in my mid-20s, I had learned a little bit about sewing and making costumes and stuff like that for Ren Fairs and for cosplayers and stuff like that. And when I went back to school, when they found out I could sew, they said, okay, well, we need someone to design the costumes for this show. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. And so that just kind of started. It was called The Bridegroom of Blowing Rock at Guilford Technical Community College in Jamestown, North Carolina. And it just kind of clicked for me that this was something that I could do as a part of technical theater and a part of collaborating with other people to get my voice out there, to help tell the story in a bigger way. And in a way that appealed to me and appealed to some of the skills and interests I already had, in addition to performance. And then after doing that for a few years, I ended up going to an undergraduate program. I went to Ole Miss, where I could study costume design, and they would still let me, if I had time in the semester, if I wasn't designing shows or something like that, I could still try and kind of audition for shows and if I wanted to. And I ended up being in four shows and designing about five shows while I was there in those 3 years. And then it just kind of came down to, for me, figuring out, it's not that I had to choose necessarily. I think I went with costume design because it was what I had been educated in, and it was the thing that I had found that I had all these skills in. I loved the way that these people behind the scenes come together and collaborate and discuss these huge ideas that may not always be communicated through the show, but that's part of the fun, is getting all of these huge ideas that the director, the producers, the scenic designer, the costume designer, the lighting designer, the sound designer, that they all come up with this idea together, and it's like the overarching concept of the show. And that's just huge to me. It's storytelling in a really grand form when it comes to the theater. Even though it might be on a small stage, it's still kind of an overarching way of communicating my ideas and the ideas of the people I work with to people. And so I've always been a storyteller, even going back to telling jokes in kindergarten I always just wanted to tell a story. And so that's really what kept me in costume design was not only did I get to tell, whereas as a performer, I was a part of the cog. I was a cog in the machine telling the whole story, but then I got to take a bigger chunk of that story and tell it. I've always felt like clothing has always been something I've been interested in. I have a weird sense of style myself, and I've always been fascinated by why people choose to wear what they wear and what that tells you about them on even on a level that they don't even understand. Now, on a level that even people observing them day after day may not understand, and how that can really tell how what you choose to wear on a daily basis and what you pick out for yourself can tell the people around you what's going on in your life and who you are. And there are so many little factors about your circumstances and all of that that you can tell the story of through clothes in a subtle, almost subliminal way sometimes. So telling stories is the big reason I got into it. I also have to say that, like, people in theater, and there's no people like show people. Yeah, that's cliche, but it's true. Like, I have found that I am happiest working with people that have that same mindset of, like, let's open up and create something together, and we're all, you know, we're all creating something together. And that is hugely important to me as something I want to do every day. When I get up in the morning, that's what I want to do. I want to work with the people that become your best friends to create something, to tell a story to people. So that's kind of how I got into it and what I get out of it.
Well, so keep telling us your story and
sure.
Tell us how you got started here at Barter.
So when I graduated from my master's program at the University of Florida, I did a gig at the end of that, and it was a short-term gig. It was done in September, and I moved back to Florida after that. I was in New Jersey Shakespeare Theater. And when I was done with that, I was looking for work. And what's interesting about it is somewhere along the line in my education, I decided that I wasn't interested in going to necessarily New York or L.A. or anything like that. Because a lot of people in our business, that's their first, they feel like that's what they're going to do when they're done, to feel like they've made it. And, you know, there are lots of steps in between, but a lot of people feel like, and it is a great thing to do. There's a lot of work to be done in both of those places. But that was never anything that I was ever interested in. So here I am looking for a job. And you know, what's really interesting, there's a lot of, when you go looking for jobs in theater, there are a couple of different places you can go to find that work. You can go to different conferences and talk to different people. You can email all of the people that run the shops, the costume shops at every regional theater. You can go to various sundry job sites online and apply for different jobs. So that's what I was doing. I was doing all of those things. And I found the job at Barter Theater, and I was reading about the town, and I was reading about the area. And I'm from North Carolina. I grew up in Greensboro, and my family lives, you know, really an hour and a half from here in Sparta, North Carolina. And to find that there was a theater the size that it is in a small community like ours that had been running for so many years and reaching so many people and telling wonderful stories, not just like the big musicals and little shows, but to find that had been something that I was actually looking for at some point during the range of deciding my career. I always said to myself, I don't want to go to New York. I'm getting back to that. I don't necessarily want to go to New York. I want to work in regional theater because I feel like I'm going to affect people that need culture or that need art or that want art more than I am going to New York and working as a stitcher somewhere or a shopper or whatever and being a smaller part of all of that. But knowing that I would be in a community that was affected on a larger scale by what the work we do was a huge thing. I had always said that I, you know, all I want to do is go live in the mountains and be surrounded by like nature and beauty and all that wonderful stuff and create art and get to interact with what that was. And so like that had always been kind of like in the back of my head as like a little dream that one day I will, and that's hard to do. That doesn't exist. There aren't as many regional theaters as there used to be. And there certainly aren't regional theaters that fit our niche very much, that are in a small town, that have like a real home-style environment, that have year-long people there all year long working to create art. And when I saw that, I was like, wow, that is what I've been looking for. That is what I said I wanted like 6 years ago. I didn't know a whole lot about stuff then, but I always said that that's what I wanted. And so I applied for the job, and I made it here. And it was everything in some ways that I was looking for. It was a small community. It was a family of people working together to create art for a small number of people, and sometimes a large number of people. And it was something that would affect the lives of the people that were a part of the community. And because I feel so strongly that theater has the power to make change in this world. Theater has the power to bring happiness to people that need it very badly, I think, and to actually see that happening. You know, I'm not just to see it happening year long. I'm not just shipping off the work that I do, or I'm not going to a place and then leaving and coming back to it maybe the next year to do another thing. I'm here all year long, and I get to see the fruits of my work.
So let's get down to, before we actually talk about what you do here at Barter, why does theater matter to you?
Well, I think I just said a lot about
it. You did.
Because it really does, and it's all tied together for me. Theater is important, and theater matters because all the way back to the Stone Age, that's how we started to communicate to people. We would put on shows. We'd show, I went out into the forest and I killed this big boar and now we all have food. How did you tell that before you had language? You acted it out. So even as far back as that, theater has been integral to communicating the ideas of a society to everyone in that society. So that's a big part of it. And I feel like we, even more than television and movies, have a connection with the people that are consuming our product. And it is that. It is a product. And they are consuming it. And they think about it when they leave. And I think the more we can put out there, like the things that are joyous in this world, the things that we're thinking about as solutions to problems in this world, even in just a tiny little way, just by putting on a big musical, that can do a whole lot. If we're putting that out there and those people are coming to see it, then it's enriching their lives, I think. And seeing other people's points of views and seeing themselves in characters and understanding themselves better and understanding the people around them, the empathy thing. But I feel like not just to communicate those things, I feel like a culture really sees itself better in a mirror than having someone describe it to them. That's what we do. We create a mirror of society. The mirror might be a funhouse mirror, and it might be a different color, and it might have smoke on it or whatever. But that's really what we're doing is we're entertaining, we're enlightening at the same time. And I feel like that's why it matters, because we need that. There's no connection like the connection an audience can make with a group of performers, technicians, artists, putting something out in front of them.
What part do you play in all of this as a assistant costume designer?
So I do a lot of different things. That term, assistant costume designer, is a good term for what I do. What I do is I assist our local designers and our out-of-town designers that come in. That means that I'm helping them make decisions in a design way, not just like go run and do this, which we do. I do some of that too. When I assist a costume designer, oftentimes I am problem solving with them in the design. That means, oh, is this a set of colors that works together? Do these four dresses tell the story that I want them to tell? Sometimes I'm a sounding board for that. That's one thing. Sometimes it is simply communicating what their intention is to the rest of the people in the costume department. And that can be our wigs master or wigs designer. That can be wardrobe. That can be the people creating the costumes on the floor. Sometimes that can be done through me from afar, because sometimes we have designers that come in from out of town. They're not here through the entirety of the production period. Sometimes I'm communicating the things that they need me to communicate to those people. And that can be as simple as, I want this hem shorter on that dress, or that can be as complicated as, this is my concept. You know everything in and out about this concept. I need these costumes to have this feel. So sometimes I'm even providing those things. Sometimes I'm going into our stock and pulling those things, but I can also communicate that to the team of people that are creating them by helping them make decisions on a daily basis when that designer is not in town. So I do that. Other things I do as an assistant, shopping, returns, contacting vendors, talking to the other people in this on our collaborators team. I can help communicate to the props people, the scenic designer, all of those things that they may need to know. So that means I need to know everything about a show, the ins and outs, and understand that designer's mind. So that's one part of what I do as the assistant designer. So that covers some of that. The other thing I do is I also design shows. So of the 22 some shows that we did this year, I probably designed 4 or 5 of them. So I have to kind of balance that along with helping others and helping them create their vision. I have to also design those shows and be able to communicate all of those things to all of the people that might need the information about it. And when I say designing, that can be anything from, this is the story. This is the story we want to tell. The broad part of that is, who are these people? What is it about them that we can communicate to the audience through their daily clothing and all of that? How does that work in the sense of the show? If there are 2 acts and they happen over the span of 7 days, do they change clothes every day? Is that something that would have happened in this show? Is it even that type of show that wants to hold a mirror up to reality so closely that every time they would normally change their clothes, they're changing their clothes? Or is it something that we just want an idea to give to the audience that this is that person? Let's solidify it and distill it down to one outfit for this person. So that's a big part of designing, but also then communicating that through drawings and sketches and research and all of that. So I do a lot of that as well too.
Let's apply this to a show that you designed this year.
Sure.
With 22 characters, with 2 actors playing now,
yeah.
And that is Tuna Christmas.
Okay, so here's an interesting thing about this version of Tuna. So we did its predecessor, Greater Tuna, a year and a half ago. And one of the reasons we selected to do Tuna Christmas this year was so that we could continue the story from that standpoint. Same actors, the same people working on it, essentially. However, last time we did it, I did not design the clothes for it. In this slot, one of the things we were trying to do was to also capitalize on the fact that we had just done the play with most of the same characters. About, I want to say like 15 of the characters are shared between Greater Tuna and Tuna Christmas. So we could then take what we had already decided about those characters, whether it be characterization from those specific actors, things that we already learned about them, and apply it to this production because we had the same actors involved. However, this is a Christmas story. People come to the theater to see Christmas stories, and we want to make them excited about the season and all of the things that means. So these characters are also very excited about Christmas. So this had to be like the Christmas version of the characters we saw last summer in Greater Tuna. So one of my challenges in this show was to take as much of the existing costumes, because these costumes are very tricky. Because they have to change in and out of them in like 20 seconds sometimes, they have to be built as a unit, and they have to be made easy to get in and out of. And they also have to because they are this character and so many other characters, they have to distill the essence of what that character is down to one thing. So we had to use as much of the costumes that we used last time in order to help tell this story. So I was challenged with taking another designer's design and transforming it into something that we could now use for a different version of the story, a new, the next chapter of the story, and still put my own personal touch on it as well. So a lot of what I did was to look at the characters that already existed, bring those costumes down and kind of look at them and figure out what that character, and these characters are zany, crazy, insane characters. They are like all of your like aunts and uncles that you don't see except for at Christmas. That's who these characters are. They are like the zaniest of those people, if you can imagine. And to take those and then turn them into the version that I saw them as in their Christmas. So sometimes it would be, okay, well, Vera Karp is the richest woman in town, essentially, and she's going all out for Christmas on her tree, so she has to have an entire new look for her, but still using the same ideas of what her body proportions were, because, I mean, it's very important when you're dressing a man as a woman and to tell who this woman is what her body proportions are. So we used the padding that we used last time, but we reskinned it with an entire new Christmas outfit for her. Now, we have audience members that remember what Vera Karp wore last time, which essentially was a really cute a skirt suit that was indicative of a woman of her class from Texas. And making assumptions, because the whole play is about stereotypes in some ways, but making a stereotype about what type of person she was, which is very, like, extravagant and loud and flamboyant and kind of a busybody and all of those things. So then taking that and finding the Christmas outfit for it to then reskin the padding with, because it all works as a unit. The whole costume works as a unit. So that's one thing I did. Other characters like Charlene and that whole family, the whole Boumelier family, they all had a look last time. And then I was able to update it. You know, okay, so this is going to sound funny. One of the things that was so inspirational to me during designing the show and getting to pick out all these fun Christmas things that these zany characters were, Barrett Guyton, the director, said to me that it is like Christmas at the trailer park with a heart. And that was so inspiring because to me, I have this great vision of my mind of what that is. He was able to distill it down to a sentence there. And so I was able to come up with some of the most tacky, most Texas kinds of things that all of these characters could wear. Sometimes it's like crazy Christmas sweaters that look like they have guns on them, like for the gun shop owner, Dee Dee. I got to have a lot of fun picking out like the tackiest Christmas t-shirts, the tackiest Christmas sweaters for a lot of these characters. And have a lot of fun with it. I just had to get in the spirit.
What are you currently working on?
Well, I work in the Barter Production Building. That's where all of the costume storage and the costume shop and rehearsals for about half of the shows happen. Probably more than half, probably three quarters of the shows. Rehearse in this building. We are in the midst of getting ready for a huge renovation on the building. So we are moving the entire costume operation. That means the thousands and thousands of pieces of costumes we have in stock. That means moving the workspaces of about 14 different people who do our sewing, our wigs, our craft items, my offices, our manager, all of the designers' stuff, you know, the huge team of it. We're moving the workspaces of all of those people and all of the space that we use to stage the shows for a costume standpoint. The fitting rooms, the storage for the things we're working on currently, the storage for the things that we need to put away, all of that stuff. We're working on moving all of that to a temporary space over on Trigg Street. in the old Food City offices. That's where all of this building is basically going, which was donated to us by Food City. So that's a crazy amount of stuff to kind of figure out. So right now we're in the process of packing, but we're also at the same time trying to logistically figure out where in that building, as spacious as it is, we're going to put all this stuff and how it's going to be most effective for our day-to-day work. I would say that is actually kind of fun, come to think of it. It's almost like you get to replan everything the way that you would have had it if you had a blank slate to go to. This is where all of the women's clothes that fit the 19-teens, the 1920s, the 1930s, those are going to go in that room. All of the petticoats and underwear are going to go in that room. Whereas we have it stored the way that we have to have it stored here. Now we can stop and like reorganize it, which is great, in a way that makes sense and put it all on one floor. Now it's temporary because the building doesn't necessarily lend itself to what we do on a daily basis, but it's going to be a great home for a year, especially since we've been able to kind of plan it out the way that we want it. And I think when we come back here, we will have learned a whole lot about what works and how we want to plan out our new spaces for storage and work. So that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Also, at the same time as all that, trying to prepare myself for the next season. Usually during December is when all of the design work for the spring reps happen. All of the pre-planning, all of the pre-shopping, all of the meetings about concept with the directors and the other members of the collaborative team, all of that happens usually during December. So we're doing that on top of that. So, yeah, the shows that I am designing and helping out and assisting on for the spring, I'm trying to do all of that stuff in addition to moving years worth of costumes. And so yeah, it's a challenging time. It's it has its frustrations, but it's also really wonderful at the same time. Lots of new discoveries. You go through a room full of women's dresses from the 50s and you see something you've never seen because there are 200 dresses in that room. You go through it on a regular basis whenever you do a show in that period, or we do a show that might have something from that period in it. And you may not see that, but now that you're taking it all out of that room, you're going to see every single piece of fabric and clothing in that room. So yeah, so that's exciting and fun and also distracting sometimes.
Well, thank you for taking time out of your very busy schedule.
Oh, my pleasure.
And telling us about all that you do. And thank you for joining us.
You're welcome. I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much, Kenny.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Theater Matters. You can hear this podcast live by going to WEHCFM.com or tune in to 90.7 FM WEHC each Friday at 1:30 p.m. Don't forget to check out all the fantastic things Barter Theater is doing right now. To see the schedule and purchase tickets, visit our website at bartertheater.com or call and speak to our friendly box office staff at 276-628-3991. In the meantime, thank you for listening, and we look forward to you joining us again soon.